1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And I want to say to that, amen. I'm a little tired of people acting like if you have to obey the Bible, it's just, oh my goodness sake, let's be a martyr. His commandments are not grievous. Let me tell you what you're going to find out's grievous in life, disobeying his commandments. You're going to find that's going to bring more grief than obeying the commandments of God. Now, look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are going to look, dear God, at a great subject tonight. And Lord, we're finishing, it seems like, way too quickly this month where we've been trying to climb the mountain of great victory. And may we, Lord, in this closing Bible study, this closing message, may we discover victory's secret ingredient, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've enjoyed for the last several years our church planning and deciding we were going to have a chili cook-off. That's been fun. I love that night. The next couple days is kind of rough, but I love that night. And we have several guys that get in on this and some ladies that get in on it. And we even get some kids involved a little bit. But for those of us that are chili connoisseurs, the entire thing is about standing over there by the pots and taking a little bite of each one. And it seems like every guy there swears that he has this, you know, secret ingredient, you know. And yeah, I put something in. I don't tell many people, but see if you can taste it, you know. We're sitting there trying to decide what it is, you know. And I think one of the guys put a little brown sugar in their chili. And I think you put sugar in anything, it's going to make it better, amen. I think Jeffrey Reiser put a little bit of bourbon in his. And what that seemed like air. We had seven church members get pulled over for DWI after the chili cook-off. But amen. Hey, whatever it takes to win. But, you know, sometimes as we live the Christian life, it's kind of neat to be able to examine a church, examine an individual, maybe look at a ministry that God has his blessing on, and there's some good things happening and some victories are happening. And you say, you know, what's the secret ingredient to all of that? Well, I like 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. And here's the secret ingredient, folks. Even our faith. Even our faith. God has created each and every one of us with the capacity to place our faith in something. We have the ability, the capacity of faith. That's built in. That's God-given. Some people choose to put their faith in things that they should not have faith in. Others make the right choice and exercise their faith, put it in the things of God. But faith is important. As a matter of fact, I promise you this, and we spent 3 weeks studying the battle between David and Goliath, and how much fun was that. But as I reread it one more time, thinking I might bring another message, I thought to myself as I was, you know, closing my eyes and reliving that and watching it in my mind, I thought of that young boy again. And I thought, what was it that caused him to walk off that mountaintop down in the valley to meet that giant? And you know what? The word kept coming. Well, he had faith. He didn't just have faith in anything. He had faith in God. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. I mean, it's not even rational. Without faith in God, it would have been insanity, been suicide. And I got to thinking, as we're getting ready to leave this subject of great victory, maybe we ought to spend a Wednesday night just looking at this subject of faith. Because, again, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to give you this definition of faith. I don't think that there's only one, and this may not even be the best one, but I like it. Here it is. Faith is a quiet inner confidence in three things. Watch this. Faith is a quiet inner confidence in God's character, God's word, and God's leading. In God's character, God's word, and God's leading. When somebody has faith in God, what are they saying? They're saying this: I'm confident in the character of God. I'm confident that God's character is unchangeable. I'm confident that He is holy, loving, righteous, and good. Therefore, with conviction, I will trust in God. How? By faith. So, there's a faith that we place in God's character. We're going to develop this. The second thing, I'm confident that God's Word is reliable. So we have faith in God's character and faith in God's Word. I have faith that He has preserved it for me. I have faith that it is truly the Holy Bible, that it's accurate and that it's true. Therefore, again, with conviction, I will obey God's Word. Why? By faith. Number three, I'm confident that God's leading is trustworthy. Stay with me here. Watch this. That He knows better than I the path that I am to take. Therefore, with conviction, I will follow God's will by faith. So, faith in God's character. By faith, I will trust in God's character. By faith, I will obey God's word. By faith, I will follow God's will. If you take that attitude into life, you know what? You will overcome the world. Now, let me say something else. If you don't take that attitude into life, the world will overcome you. We're talking about victory here. So, you have confidence or faith in God's character. You have confidence or faith in God's Word. You have confidence and faith in God's will. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 because I want to show you what old smutty face does. He attacks those three areas of our life. You see, young people, adults, listen to me. If the devil can begin to get you to lose confidence in God's character, or lose confidence in God's word, or lose confidence in God's will, then you know what? He will destroy your faith and therefore keep you from winning victories. In Genesis chapter 3, very familiar portion of Scripture, but well worth a look from time to time. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Folks, that's a slur. That's a slander against the character of God. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You know what he's doing? He's attacking the God's word. He attacked his character. Now he's attacking his word. He said, God's lying to you. You can't trust what he said. And then we read on that he says this and gives this accusation in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now watch this. You see, he said this. God is a liar. God's word is unreliable. And God's leading is designed to keep you from all that you could have and all that you could be. And you know what he did? He attacked Eve's faith in God. Now, why would he use that? Design his attack that way? Watch this. Because there's only one way to successfully live the Christian life, and that is to live it by faith. You have to live it by faith. Hebrews 10:38, what an amazing verse. Now the just shall live by faith. But it doesn't stop there. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know what God was saying? He was saying, you know what? You have to live this thing by faith. If you draw back and stop living by faith, then my soul has no pleasure in that. And isn't that reinforced by what we read in Hebrews chapter 13? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Satan's best chance of keeping you from the successes and the victories that faith would bring is to cause you to begin to live by sight instead of by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Satan will do this by trying to make us feel that we have to make the decisions of our own life on our own. See, the minute you start doubting the character of God and the Word of God and the leading of God, then all of a sudden, who does that leave? Well, if I can't trust God, I've got to put my trust somewhere. You know what? I'm just going to start watching out for myself because I can't trust His character, I can't trust His Word, and I can't trust His will. And so I'm going to put my faith in myself, and I'm going to decide, and I'm going to make decisions. And you know what? The minute you start doing that, you know what? The devil has you. You are doomed. He's got you. Now stay with me. Watch this. I believe that building our faith, and here as we're leaving this subject of great victory, I believe it's well worth the time for just a few minutes tonight to put our faith under the microscope and just answer some honest questions. By the way, folks, this isn't a trick. This isn't to make you feel bad. This is to help you. I believe everybody from time to time needs to say this and ask themselves some questions. Has the devil gotten me to begin to distrust God's character? You know, I get up here sometimes and say, God's good. And I look on the looks on some people's faces as if, honestly, they really don't believe it. They're fixated on one thing that happened in their life or a series of recent events and things didn't go their way. So watch this. That must mean that God's bad. Folks, listen to me. When things are going well in your life, God's good. And when things are going bad in your life, God's good. And when you're on the mountaintop, God's good. And when you're on the valley, in the valley, God's good. And God's character doesn't change just because this circumstances of life changes. Take God off trial. Take Him off trial. See, we've got to stop judging God and His character based on what's happened to us in the last 24 hours. Folks, listen to me. You know what? Sin's bad. What do you think caused all this mess down here? Is it God? How come the devil can cause so much heartache and bring so much sin into the world and we participate in it and then some of the consequences come and all of a sudden God's the meanie, God's the bad person? Now, the honest truth is, you know what we need to do? We need to reaffirm our faith in the character of God. That, you know, you say, how do you do that, preacher? If I've had that shaken in my life, how do I reaffirm it? I'm going to talk to you about that. I'm going to give you a good formula here at the end of the message. Real simple to follow, good formula for just reestablishing your faith. So the first question to ask is, has the devil somehow caused me to begin to lose trust, lose faith, lose confidence in God's character? Now, folks, God hasn't changed. So don't let the devil do that to you. Here's the second question. Has the devil somehow begin to get me to doubt God's Word? Do I look at it as something that can be trusted, as reliable? And hear your preachers say often, boy, I'm going to tell you something, I just won't budge an inch on this. You can sit there and say, well, this book contains the Word of God. And I say, no, it don't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Well, it contains the Word of God. No, it contains the words of God. You see, folks, listen to me. The minute you start shining any type of a light of doubt upon this book, what you're doing is destroying the faith of these young people up here. You know, say, preacher, why do you want veto power about which Christian school I go to or which Christian college? I mean, good night. There's a lot of Christian colleges out there, yeah, and some of them have professors that will send kids believing in the King James Holy Bible as the inspired, preserved words of God, and by the time they come back, they won't believe this Bible. I said in a Christian college. I didn't say in a secular university. I said in a so-called Christian college. And it's usually the Greek teacher, I'll just tell you right now. It's a so-called Greek theologian. You won't find him on a bus route, by the way. He doesn't go soul winning. But he's there to shake the confidence of our young people in this book. Now, what you have here is God's holy words. And you got to be careful where you go. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's Bible colleges that 20 years ago, we would have been fine sending somebody to. And you know what? That cancer's got into that college since then. And by the way, part of my job is keep up on that stuff. If you see your preacher kind of point you away from a certain place. Don't listen. Do you have more loyalty to an institution that's out there than you would? Has the Bible assigned that institution the responsibility of watching for your soul? Or has He assigned that responsibility to me? It always bothers me when somebody gets more confidence in some para-Christian organization than they do in their own local New Testament church. What I'm saying is, I've got my finger on the pulse of things, and I keep an eye. Just because I don't get up and preach and name names doesn't mean that in private counsel I won't tell you at times, you know what, you need to keep your kids away from that direction, that ministry, because there's poison in the pot there. And so be willing to trust your pastor on some things, okay? So, you know what? By faith I will trust in God's character. By faith I will obey God's word. By faith I will follow God's will. The devil comes up and says, you can't trust God's character. If God was good, this wouldn't have happened. And all that is an attempt to shake your faith in God's character. Folks, you cannot take an isolated circumstance and judge God's character by that. Okay? By faith I will obey God's word. And one of the things that I've settled in my life, and I settled it a long time ago, is this: God's good. And God's right. And God's holy. But you can bring all the pile of things you want. I've knocked on doors, and by the way, there's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of heartache in this world. By the way, who caused all that? Didn't we just read in Genesis chapter 3? I don't think it was God that introduced sin that brought forth death. Okay? And I don't think God put a gun to Eve's head. And so we've got a tempter, and we've got a frail human race that too often times would rather hear what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And then they create a mess, and then God's bad. I'm sorry, but can I just stand up here a minute and defend God? Stop that. That's wrong. That's wicked. God's good. And He's not the one that messed this thing up. So when the consequences of sin begin to affect somebody's life, why is God bad? And by the way, maybe it wasn't your sin. But I promise you this, every bad thing can be traced back to somebody's sin, and every sin can be traced back to a tempter. So again, please tell me why you're holding bitterness in your heart and you will not just fully trust the Lord. God's good. Settle it. He's good. Okay, I settled this a long time ago. You know what? I have confidence in this book right here. I believe it. I believe what it says over what any man would say. I believe what it says over what any politician would say. I believe what it says over what any preacher would say. Brother Don Maurer, I was working on a project with him earlier in the week, and he was telling me how he was looking for something to watch on TV, kind of flipping through the channels, and he said he came on TV, one of these TV preachers, it happened to be a black TV preacher, and he said, I stopped and thought I'd listen to him for a minute, and he said, he stood up there and said this. He said to the homosexuals that were there, and he said to those of you that are watching on TV, he said, we owe you an apology. We owe you an apology. He made a big, elaborate deal out of this. You are just as welcome and should be just as accepted in this church as anybody else. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I heard what he said, but I know what God said. Okay? And you know what? I settled this a long time ago. You know what? I'm trusting in God's word. This is where my faith is. Folks, listen to me. Watch this. If you put your faith in a preacher, you put your faith in a man, everybody's going to change. Everybody has the potential to change. But you know what? Think about this. God's character has never changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And you know what? It is the Lord that says, you know what? I change not. God's character is reliable. God's word is reliable. It's never changed. Now, let's go ahead and ask this third question. Here's the third question. Has the devil begin to cause you to distrust or lose confidence in the leading of God, in God's will for your life? Now, stay with me here. Because if you think about it, folks, why would the devil attack the character of God and the Word of God and the will of God? Why would he attack that? Because in order to have confidence in those things, you have to have faith. And you know what he knows? Faith overcomes the world. So if I can destroy their faith, I don't have to worry about victories. If I destroy their faith, I destroy their effectiveness. And so he begins to attack in these areas of your life. What about God's leading? What about God's will? What about His wishes for your life? What about what is right and wrong in His life? What about what He wants you to do? Now let's go, if you will, now since we're talking about faith, let's make another trip over back into the New Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, of course, the great faith chapter. And let's just kind of settle some things about this idea of faith. And then let's let these things sink in. And then let's conclude the message in a few minutes by doing an examination and helping to shore up these three areas. If the devil has gotten you to distrust God's character or distrust God's word or distrust God's will for your life, then guess what? That can be fixed and you can be helped. But listen to me, you will not live a victorious Christian life if you stay in that condition. What about this matter of faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This entire chapter places a premium on this secret ingredient, victory's secret ingredient, and the premium it places upon it needs to be looked at tonight. Stay with me. Look at verse number 2. Only by faith can we obtain a good report. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Good report where? How about a good report in heaven? Let's start there. You remember when the devil came and presented himself in the presence of God in Job chapter 1. And I like this. I like reading this. Where God, you know, it wasn't the devil that brought Job up. I think the devil was bringing up some people, because the Bible says that he has one purpose when he goes before God, and that's to be that accuser of the brother. So I think what had happened was that he came and he wanted to start bringing up to God people that were unfaithful, people that were supposed to be his children, but were failing in living the right kind of a life. And I think God finally heard enough of that and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And all of a sudden, the devil wants to change the subject. Now watch this, folks. You know what? I want to get this to your hearts, okay? I mean, who are you worried about having a good report with? I've watched this thing, and I'll be honest with you, it mystifies me. You see a good kid or a good young adult, and they start going south, they start going sour. I always ask one question. This is the question I always ask. Parents, you better learn this question. Who's got their ear? That's the first thing I ask. All of a sudden, I see somebody who used to be excited about things of the Lord, and all of a sudden, they got a sour disposition. Used to be excited about, man, the church and everything's happening. Now they set back to sack. Well, I say, who's got their ear? Who's got their ear? Now, I want you to get this. I think it's a shame, and I think it's a weakness to allow yourself to become a slave to pleasing some backslidden Christian. And yet I've watched this. One of the things I just really don't understand is how certain individuals, certain personality types seem to be able to have such a power over especially. Now, young people, I'm going to say this, it happens a lot to young people. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at them and watching this, and I'm thinking they're more worried about pleasing this person than they are their mom, their dad, their pastor, their Sunday school teacher, than they are worried about pleasing Almighty God. What that person and what they think has more power over them than what God thinks. And now, watch this, folks. You're going to have to decide You know, where do you want a good report at? What are you more concerned about? I want that to sink in a minute. I want some of you to kind of wake up a little bit here. Who's got control over you? Oh, no one's got control over you. Yeah, somebody does. You sit there and say, no, I'm my own person. No, there's somebody that you get up and, you know what? You wear what you want. Wear because you're trying to impress them. You act like you act because you're trying to impress them. You go where you go because you're trying to impress them. Now, wait a minute. Listen, what if we shifted all that to heaven? What if all of a sudden, you know what? I want to obtain a good report. Where? Before the throne of grace. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if sometime when the devil's up there and he's accusing the brethren and good night, we give the devil ammunition. I mean, we all do from time to time. Come on now. But wouldn't it be good every once in a while if the Lord could just shut him up by saying, you know, have you considered my servant Dalton? Have you considered my servant Samuel? Forget Asa. Lucas. Have you considered my servant Asa? You know what? Why don't we try to live that kind of a life? And so, number one, only by faith can we obtain a good report. Number two, only by faith can we understand what we cannot see. Look at verse 3. Through faith we understand. That's interesting. Through faith we understand. What do we understand? That the worlds were framed. Wait a minute. We weren't there. We didn't see how the worlds were framed. Yeah, I know, but by faith we understand it. You see, folks, watch this. Through faith, we can begin to understand things that we have not seen, cannot see, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen, things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. And you know what? You say that to somebody, you know, that's why this entire, you take God out of the study of the earth, you take God out of the study of science, and it forces them to try to find some beginning, and that's where you get some of the crazy theories that are out there and all of this, because there had to have been some, you know, all matter comes from matter. No matter is destroyed, it only changes. You can't just have nothing and then there's something. Oh, yes, you can. No, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. But show me that in the lab. I'll show it to you in the Bible. Well, that's silly. No, that's faith. That's faith. And so, if we are able to have enough faith in God that we believe that at one point there was nothing and God spoke this all into existence and we didn't see it, and you know what? We have enough faith to understand that even though we don't really get it. Then if we can take that faith, we can take it into today and tomorrow and the next day, and something's going to happen that we don't understand. And you know what we're going to say? Well, I don't really understand this whole creation thing, but all I know is this. The Bible says that God spoke and it was so. And you know what? God had a purpose for everything He's ever done. And you know what? I may not understand this situation, but you know what? It's not going to shake my faith in God. And so, number one, only by faith can we obtain a good report. Only by faith can we understand what we cannot see. Number three, only by faith can we truly please God. In verse number 6, very simple, isn't it? This is the secret ingredient. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The illustrations are, of course, stockpiled in this chapter. We start with Abel, who believed God in the matter of salvation, believed by faith. You know what? He brought that more excellent sacrifice. He was taught by his parents what happened in the Garden of Eden, I believe, and he knew that when it came time to bring a sacrifice, it had to be a blood sacrifice. And you know what? He didn't question it, and because he had faith, you know what? He believed God in the matter of salvation. Abel believed God was holy, and he believed God's commands, and Abel by faith followed the will of God and the leading of God in this matter of bringing the right sacrifice. Enoch believed God in verse 5 in the matter of fellowship. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Because of that, he was translated that he should not see death. Why do people get saved, truly saved? They have to do by faith. Watch this. Why do Christians, once they're saved, choose to walk with God? By faith. By faith. I'm going to trust the character of God. I'm going to trust the Word of God. I'm going to trust the will of God. That's where I'm going to put my faith. Noah believed God in the matter of upcoming judgment. We better start believing God about that one, folks. by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know what? Noah believed God in the matter of upcoming judgment. You know what? He believed in the character of God. Watch this. You know what? You say, preacher, why are you one of these preachers that want to talk quite a bit about America? You better get ready. Are you just a doomsday? Are you just a pessimist? No, I know the character of God. I mean, how do you know the character of God? I'm going to show you in a minute. I'm going to tell you in a minute how you reclaim and reaffirm your faith in the character of God. Hey, I can start in Genesis, read all the way through, and you know what? God's a patient God, amen? And long-suffering. But you know what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know what? And our God is a consuming fire. And you know what? I mean, the Bible's full of Him giving us chances and chances with His own nation Israel. And I mean, we can go and chronicle that, but folks, listen to me. There came a point in time where God draws us a line in the sand and says, you know what? There's going to be a point in time where I say, you know what? The wages of sin is death. Be sure your sins will find you out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And you know what? As long and as far as He went with the country of Israel, His chosen people, there was a time when He let the pagans overrun them and put them into captivity and haul them off. And for 70 years, they paid for their sin. You know what? I look at that, and because of that, listen, if He was that patient with Israel, why do we think that America is going to get some kind of a pass? I mean, folks, the character of God is this. You take two cities and turn them into Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to send fire and brimstone. That's the character of God. And so what we better understand is that God's, listen, I've got faith in His character. Noah believed in God's character. And so you know what he did? He went to build an ark. Abraham believed in the matter of divine direction. I just read one verse of this, but look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. I've always thought that had to be an interesting conversation when he went in and talked to Sarah about this. We're moving. Where? Well, God told us we're moving. Okay, where? He came to me and said, we're to move. Okay, where are we going? I'm going to obey the Lord. We're going to move. That's fine. Where are we going? I don't know. He just said, start, and He'll show us. Amen. 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 I like that. I like that. And you know what? Thank God for a good wife. You know what Sarah said? Pack the bags. Here we go. Where are we going? Following Him. Where's He going? He don't know. God's going to explain it to us somewhere along the... Can I say this? That sounds like the biography of my life. That's all right. That's all right. And you know what, folks? The greatest way to live your life is by faith. I mean, you know, if not, it's not an adventure. I told my wife, honey, I will promise you one thing. Our life will be an adventure. Really, two purposes of my life, really. And when I first met my wife, she smiled. And I looked at that smile and I said, I'm going to marry that woman and spend my life making her smile. That's what I'm going to do. And I pretty much have done that. Now, there's different kinds of smiles. Some of them kind of look like this, but... And then I told her this. I don't know where we're going to end up, where we're going, but I'm going to follow God. And thank God for a wife that just says, okay, let's pack the bags. Where are we going? Let's go do this. Folks, that's not just good for a preacher and a preacher's wife. That's just a good way to live. I mean, just by faith. Yeah, but how's this going to turn out? I don't know. But I know that God wants us to do it. Now, wives, I can help you right now. I'm going to tell you something. And this will strike a chord in the heart of every man in here. And ladies, I'll teach you on the greatest secrets about your husband if you'll listen to me. You know what? a man wants? You know what he wants? To be able to walk in and say, I know God wants us to do this, and have a wife say, then let's go. Amen. I know God wants us to do this. Honey, I've prayed about it. I've considered it. I know. And by the way, man, if you're going to say that, you better know God wants you to do something. Okay? Because if not, you'll destroy her confidence. But I mean, I'm talking about praying about it. You know what? I'm telling you young ladies down here a great secret of life. Okay? You know what a man wants to do? Watch this. It's in him. God created. He wants to lead. He wants to lead. You always run ahead and try to do the leading, you're going to have a frustrated husband. I mean, you know what? God created a man with the desire to find the will of God and do it. And when we find the will of God and do it, you know what we want? We just want our wives to say, honey, I trust you. And if this is what you say is God's will, then you know what? We're going. And you know what? That lady's taking a journey with me. And it has been an adventure. And it doesn't mean I always got everything right, but I'm going to tell you, I've never, ever one time had to fuss or fight with her about the direction of our life. I told you this, I think, but my wife lived in 21 houses, 21 different houses by the time she was 18 years of age. Did I tell you that ever before? My wife lived in 21 different houses. Not 21 different cities, but 21 different houses by the time she was 18 years of age and went off to Bible college. When she went off to Bible college, lived in the dorms for 4 years. She lived longer in one place in the dorms of a Bible college than she had anywhere else in her life. Okay? And then she marries me. I think I moved her like 3 times in the first 2 years. Remember when you're first married, how many houses do we... You bounce around, you get this deal, you know. Then you find out they expect you to pay rent, and then you have to move. And I mean, you know. And then we started a church in Brazil, and we moved 3 different times when we were over there. Lived in 3 different houses there. And when we moved here, I said to the Lord, and by the way, what I said, Lord, you know, I always pray. Listen, always put at the end of every prayer, not my will, but thine be done, okay? It's okay to ask God for anything, but you also got to ask, understanding that if it's not God's will, it's got to be okay. And I just kind of prayed this thing, and I said, Lord, that woman's followed me everywhere. She's never had a place. And I said, you know, we've rented ever since we've gotten married, and I think I was 32 or 33 then, and I said, we weren't in a financial position to buy a home. But I said, Lord, if you could work it out where we could buy a place, I know it would mean so much to my wife just to be able to feel like it's home. And so the Lord worked that out. And I mean, I've told you the story. Good night. I went and seen some realtors and told them, I said, I want to live out in the country. I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm live out in the country. And so they'd call me and say, meet me such and such a place. I'll take you to show a house. And they'd go into town. And they'd show me a place in town. I wouldn't get out of the car. And I said, I'm not living in town. If I'm going to buy somewhere, I'm going to live in town. And so, you know, then she did it again to me. This realtor kept doing this to me. And it'd take me to like the outskirts of town, but still town. And so when she started calling, finally I just started saying, what's the address? Because if she said, you know, 304 Walnut Street, I knew it was in town. If she said Rural Route 13, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go look at that, you know. And so the last time she wanted to show us a place on the edge of town, I wouldn't get out of the car. I said, ma'am, I don't want to be mean, but what part of country don't you understand? And she looked at me and she said, Reverend, she called me Reverend. Reverend, she said, I don't understand you. I said, what? What's not to understand? She said, you're a preacher, you're a reverend. Okay. And she's like, don't you like people? I said, ma'am, I love people. I've given my whole life to serve people. I spend every day with people. But when I go home at night, I don't want to see any of them. Come on, somebody give me an amen, all right? And she said, well, I'm not sure I understand what you want. I said, I'm going to make it easy. I said, I want you to find me a place that when I step out the back door, I can take my 357 Magnum and go boom, 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 and not hit anybody. That's what I told her. She went, huh, got in her car. I didn't hear from her the next week. I didn't hear from her the next month. I didn't hear from her for 2 months. I told my wife, I think I made her mad. I think she's not going to find us a place. Well, I got a call from her. She said, preacher, bring your pistol. I think I found a place. And by the way, she took us to this little place. And you know what? It hadn't even got on the market yet. If that place had got on the market, it had been gone. Here's this little dinky house in the middle of nowhere. And in ill repair. And a fixer-upper. And to us, it was a mansion. Good night. Three bedrooms about the size of three closets. But you know what? We didn't care. And all I was looking at was the outside anyway. I mean, I can have a cow. I can have a cow. I got four now. Try, well, you laugh, but Ben Cartwright, he had to start somewhere too. He didn't start with 1,000. He worked his way up. So we went out there, and the Lord allowed us to have that place. And you know what? Here's what I was going to tell you. And we got in, and we did a little, you know, what you can to do when you're a young couple. You know, we fixed up a little bit, painted a few rooms, and rearranged a few things, and just made it livable, and got in there and just lived in it. Just, you know what? Every night, just as happy as we could be. We had our own place, man. You know. And we'd lived there several years. And one night, we were in bed together, and my wife starts crying. Now, guys, you know right then, we aren't going to sleep for a while. I don't know what's wrong yet, but all I know is we are not going to sleep for a while. So I put my arm around her. Are you all right?
Yes.
Why do they always say that? They're crying if you ask them, they're all right. Yeah, I'm fine. I don't think so. And she told me this. I want to put this in your all's heart. We hadn't lived there but a handful of years. And she said, I love this place that we live. I just love it. And I said, I'm glad. She said, yeah, but it scares me. I said, why? She said, I'm afraid that you know how much I love it. And if God told you to go somewhere, you wouldn't go because you know how much I love this. And you know that I do. But if God ever tells you that we need to sell and go somewhere, I want you to promise me you will. You won't stop because I love this place. And I laid there and thought, man, I've got the greatest wife in all the world. I got somebody I can serve God with. Are you getting this, folks? You know what? I haven't lost confidence in the will of God. The preacher, as God leads, has everything always turned out as you thought? Has there been some valleys? Has there been some tough? Absolutely. Good night, folks. That's called a rich life. No, I want you to change your perspective. How would you ever enjoy a mountaintop if you've never been in a valley? I mean, I think that the things that God allows sometimes, the hardships, is what makes the good times so sweet. You know? And so, I wouldn't want a life that didn't have all the ingredients. And you know what? There's laughter and there's sorrow. Okay? There's triumphs and there's losses. You know, there's disappointments. But man, all of a sudden, there's also a lot of unexpected, wonderful surprises. It's called life. It's called the will of God. And so, you know what? I'm going to live it by faith. The just shall live by faith, which means what? We're done. I mean, an hour almost to the second. We're done. This is amazing. It means this. I have confidence in the character of God. I have confidence in the Word of God. And I've got confidence in the will of God. And so I'm going to trust Him because of who He is. I'm going to trust this book. And if God leads me in a direction, I'm going to trust that whether or not I can see the end or not, it's going to work out and it's going to be okay. That's how the just live, and that is victory's secret ingredient. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd help us, dear Lord, as we try to traverse this journey we call life. And Lord, there are times of intense testing along the way. And there's times when our faith is small, and there's times when our faith falters. And Lord, if somebody's in one of those valleys, Lord, I pray, dear God, that they will take this message as an encouragement. Help them to go to the Word of God and reestablish their trust in the character of God. Help them to claim some promises in the Bible and reestablish their trust in the Word of God. Help them to step out by faith when You lead and reestablish their faith in the will of God. And Lord, thank You, dear God. All across the auditorium, I watch seasoned saints who have spent a lifetime trusting Your character, trusting Your Word, and trusting Your way. And they set out and they smile and they nod their head. And what a journey it's been. And Lord, I can't imagine living life any other way. So help us, dear God, as we try to do the best we can, Lord. Help us to not live by sight, but live by faith. Help us, Lord, even in those times where our faith is small and it's being challenged, dear God. Help us to reach down and find a mustard seed worth and move a mountain, dear God. Help us to never be fooled by the devil into thinking that You're anything but good and that Your Word's anything but true and that Your way is anything but the best, Lord. Help us, Lord, help us, and help those that may be struggling a bit when it comes to this matter of faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name.